Welcome to Dream University's Dream Talks, a series of conversations and interviews with thought leaders in the dream movement. Sit back, relax, and learn.
Today we're very, very lucky. We have a very wonderful and special guest with us, Lisa Norell. Lisa's president of her own company, Norell & Associates, and her website is Norell, N as in Nancy, IRELL.com, Norell.com. And she's out of Southern California, out of Del Mar, and she helps entrepreneurial leaders design a really clear roadmap for profitable growth. And she delivers workshops and multimedia programs, all over the United States, and works with top-level CEOs. And for 23 years, she has created systems that have helped companies increase their revenues, you know, fast and big numbers. And big companies like, Oppenheimer and dozens of startup firms as well. She hosts exclusive interview programs with best-selling authors of her own. Like, she's talked to Guy Kawasaki and Stephen Covey and even Marshall Goldsmith. If you have questions, you could ask her about that. Her columns have appeared in many newspapers and publications. And she's also a certified coach. We have many coaches on the phone. Our community is made up of coaches, of entrepreneurs, of executives, of people from different countries, of many people who are in network marketing or direct selling, because I've spoken, had the privilege of speaking at many of those companies. But mostly what we all share is that we're fellow dreamers, and Lisa, I know you are that as well, so welcome.
Oh, Marcia, thank you so much for that introduction. Who was that woman you were talking about anyway?
Isn't that exciting sometimes when you go, oh, my gosh, who is that woman? And I had the privilege of meeting Lisa, gosh, many years ago. We've spoken at many of the several events together. I'm recently hearing her speak for Women in Technology, where I was really impressed, Lisa, with you, you know, and your knowledge for really taking people through this process of getting clear about what it is that they want. So first of all, let's start with, what is your definition of success?
Well, that is the $64,000 question, and I was actually going to be, that was one of the four outcomes I really wanted to focus on today, Marcia, which is, you know, what is that definition of success? Because what I'm going to tell people today is contrary to what many of us learned in traditional schooling and business over the years. And I think that has to be, that is a personal definition that is going to be unique for every single person listening to this call today. So that is what I do want to do, is give people an expanded model today of success that is steeped in research.
Okay, and, well, you've got us salivating. Do tell.
I know. So I promise you today that we're, and I do want people to also bring have some note paper available, because I want to get their motors running around this thing called success and how they define it. I also think what we first have to do is debunk some old myths of success, Marcia, because there are so many of them out there that are only exacerbated by technology and the internet and globalization of our economy today.
And also, Lisa, I love that you call your program Success by Design. What does that mean?
Well, design for me means that we get to make it up and make it our own. And the only thing I'm just providing to people today are some models and some expanded paradigms of how success looks for them. And they get to color it any way they'd like.
That's great.
Yeah.
So what you're talking about is bringing our unique thumbprint, our individuality, or what I might even call our life's purpose, to whatever our dreams, visions, desires, hopes, and goals are.
Exactly.
Love that. Well, please continue.
So, you know, think of the model today that I'm going to show you as kind of some additional crib notes and an expansion of the wonderful tools that you provide in your Making Your Dreams Come True book.
Thank you.
Yes. I think that also I want to provide today some leading indicators for people that are listening to say, is there stuff happening in my life or in my business that tell me that it is time to throw out the old design and bring in the new design? So I want to do that today as well, if that's okay with you.
Oh, I think it's critical. I think for most of us, when we think about dreaming, our lives are so overscheduled and so filled up with things that we've said yes to when we really wanted to say no, that there's little room in our life for new dreams.
That's right. That's right. That's very, very true. And I think that, you know, there are a lot of pressures that we feel as business owners, entrepreneurs, and leaders. And then we see that also manifest itself in the clients that we work with. You mentioned you have people here that are working in the network marketing space or are coaches and maybe small business owners and corporate executives on the call today. And, you know, it's very interesting with all of these things that are supposed to simplify our lives, whether it be technology, online banking, online shopping, whatever the case may be. It's very interesting that all of that, even though it's happened, it's created so many choices that it almost creates more and more regret and frustration for us. And that's what I'm hearing over and over from my clients. You know, Marsha, I've interviewed 48 CEOs in private, and then I've interviewed another 42 best-selling authors and leadership coaches around the world. And they say that this increased choice is leading to more regret.
Mm.
And makes it even tougher for us, especially creative entrepreneurs, to prioritize, you know, what's important versus what's the fire that's burning that we need to put out.
So where do we begin?
Well, I think we have to, with a sense of humor in mind here, I think we have to look at some old success myths that can really, really get in the way. Because, you know, if there's anything anybody that people walk away with today and remember, it's this. Because I want to talk about something that I believe is really near and dear to all of our hearts, and that is that the dream of designing our own path to fulfillment and financial independence is alive.
Mm.
And it's
amen.
Doing, and it's doing well.
Yeah, and I also want to say it's never been a more important time for us to have dreams. You know, that as, you know, as things feel like they tend to go a little crazy and out of control, for us to actually stop and say, what is it that really matters to me and what am I willing to do about it, becomes essential.
Absolutely, it does. It really
so you
does.
Debunk away, girlfriend.
Yes, because by being able to know that that dream is alive and well, especially through all the research that I've done, it's great to know the dream is alive because it's available to all of us if we simply take the time to learn how to get it.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the key. So as we go through this, you know, I want everyone to keep that dream idea alive about, well, what would that dream mean to me? So the thing to also look at are those old myths. And I know you talk in your book about belief systems too. Some of these could be also considered beliefs. And a lot of this came out of the research I've done as well as the interviews I've done over the last 2 years. And, Marsha, one of the myths we hear a lot is, you know, more is better. More is better. More money is better. Bigger cars are better. More possessions. You know, that is a definition of success that I see very frequently in Western cultures in particular. And, you know, I'm a member of the media, so I can also... you know, point fingers at myself that we are responsible as members of the media to be careful. We have to be careful not to try to convince people that having more is always the answer. And whatever that means, whether it means number of children, number of cars, what, you know, fill in the blanks, it oftentimes, as I said earlier, can put much more pressure and undue stress on people that's unnecessary. I can't tell you how many people I've talked to recently. I just got back from my sabbatical in Oregon, and the number of people who have said, you know, I had it all. I sold it, and I moved into the woods. I'm living in a smaller house. I'm driving a hybrid car, and I'm just as happy.
Mm-hmm.
They're saying it's just, you know, I've been through that, and it's just not serving me anymore.
Mm-hmm.
The other myth that we hear, Marsha, a lot is that salary is still a key driver in today's economy. Did you know that there's a great book written by Maddie Dykewald. The book is called Cycles, and for those of you that stay on the call at the end and ask questions, I'll be happy to share with you my resource list. actually in her the surveys that she's read and mentions in her book, as well as UC Berkeley, guess where salary is on the list of priorities when people look at new business opportunities?
Well, it sounds like it's not as high as we might imagine.
It's number six.
Huh. What's the first couple?
The first couple are things like I want a work environment where I get along with others and we can collaborate, where my work is valued, where I'm making a difference.
Uh-huh.
Out higher.
Uh-huh.
And another myth that I'm really open to debunking today is that speed is good. Okay? Doing everything faster is a good thing. I mean, the coup de grace was when I came back to San Diego, and I was working out at the club the other day, and this would just brought it home for me, Marcia. There was a woman in the locker room carrying her cell phone into the shower.
Oh, my.
And I thought, now, thank you so much for teaching me, this woman. I'm thinking, thank you for teaching me or giving me a great example of how speed and technology don't always work to our advantage.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah. I said, oh, my, I wonder if cell phones work in showers. another one was guilt is good. And, again, I just want to go back briefly and say that, you know, most of the surveys I'm hearing, one of which I heard from Marshall Goldsmith, is that the degree of happiness in a lot of Western cultures, including the United States, is actually declining. And people are feeling that a lot more regret and guilt than ever before, because so many choices and so much information is flying at us. And then finally, I could go on and on about all of these, but the fifth myth that I will mention is that myth that working hard is the way to get ahead. Working hard always works. And the only thing I can share with you there is my own experience 5 years ago, and I think you heard this when we were at the conference together. 5 years ago, I was working for a $2 billion software company. I was making tons of money, big bonuses, bought anything I wanted at any time. I was really like at the pinnacle of my financial earnings from a work perspective, and it was really very interesting because even though I was working hard and working long hours and getting rewarded for it, it wasn't working for me anymore, and I wasn't effective. I alienated one of my biggest clients. My attitude was off center, and the clients actually started to notice it. So.
And I want to say that it takes a lot of courage to first face that about ourselves, because I've been in a similar place, too, where we're so focused on the goal or the end result that we forget about the relationships that we're having along the way, you know, including the relationship with ourselves, our own health and our well-being. And I think it takes tremendous courage to ask that ever-confronting question, which is, how do I really want my life to be? What is it that really matters to me? Because, and it's confronting because at a certain level, the next question must be, and what am I willing to do about it? And I know that you did it, and certainly I've done it, more and more as I look around, I'm seeing the same thing, that it's not about more is better. It's not about being so successful that I drive myself into the ground. This whole thing about working hard and guilt. I mean, it sounds like there's definitely a thematic approach that you're presenting to these different myths that with the different myths that you're debunking. How would you, if you were to sum them all up, because energetically they feel a lot alike to me. What do you think the core message is around these myths?
Well, I'd say the core message is twofold. Number one is be here now.
Yeah.
Live now.
Mm-hmm.
We don't need another disaster to remind us that all we have is now.
Mm-hmm.
That would be the first thing that
beautiful
immediately jumps out at me.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the other one is, you know, as they say in that song by Fleetwood Mac, go your own way.
Say a little bit more about that.
Well, you know, Marcia, it took me 2 years, some great coaching and workshops and an incredibly supportive husband to really go my own way.
Because
I was so wrapped around this definition of working hard and getting more stuff and making more money. I mean, it really did take me 2 years to redefine success.
Mm-hmm.
So, if I bring a lot of this research to our listeners and stories from clients and companies that I've interviewed. I also want you to know I've been there, and I'm really glad where I ended up.
Well, I think it is because you are walking your talk and you have lived through it, the ups and downs of it, that is what makes you so credible.
Well, thank you.
So let's move into the model a little bit. What is success by design?
Right. And what I would say is, so now that we've gotten these myths out of the way and we see that perhaps some of these, you know, other people's definition of success and living someday in the future may not serve me anymore, I like to turn and provide some attribution to Laura Nash and Howard Stevenson from Harvard Business School. Steeped in research of over 400 successful people, they have found and really expanded my own definition of success, and I'd like to share those five elements with those of us on the call today, and really start thinking. I'd like everybody to have a blank piece of paper ready, and we're going to actually draw a model with this. So I'd like you to just take a big circle and draw it on a piece of paper. And in the core of the circle, just put these five, I'm going to give you five words, and just put them in the core or center of the circle.
So I'm going to do this along with us, too. So I'm just drawing a big freehand circle. Mine looks like a moon.
There you go.
Okay, and then in the middle?
Yeah, just put these the following elements.
And I can put them anywhere in the circle?
Put them in the center of the circle. If you want to make a smaller circle in the circle.
Okay, and just kind of list these words?
Right.
Okay.
We're going to use four of the five words in the middle of the circle.
All right, I now have a donut, and
there
I'm ready to write the five words.
Good. Okay, great. See, I love interactive dialogues, too. So I just enjoy working with you on this. So the first one is to look at, as we define success and design success for ourselves, is what is the happiness factor? So put in the word happiness here. So what are the things that make me happy today? What are the things that really give me pleasure and contentment right now? That's the definition for happiness. So that was the first category that they looked at when they did their research, and the people they studied came back and said happiness is a very important element of our success model. The second one that they talk about is achievement. Now, Marcia, these are a lot of the traditional definitions of achievement. They could be, you know, achieving certain physical or athletic goals, academic goals, financial goals, maybe even milestones in your family where your children may have gone to, you know, been accepted into certain schools or you've completed some a PhD. So this is the achievement element. Third element, Marcia, that I want people to include here is the significance element, which is what am I doing in the world to make meaning or make a difference?
Yes, I would just punctuate that certainly as we get into our 40s and beyond, and we have many people on the call who are way beyond, and that, you know, we have a big age range here, actually. The dream that I hear the most often is that I want to know that my life matters. The significance, that I'm making a contribution in some way.
That's right. And, you know, someone who I admire immensely, I worked actually on Guy Kawasaki's book as one of his reviewers for his latest book, The Art of the Start. And he says, you know, make meaning. That's one of his cardinal rules when he works with entrepreneurs. Hmm. And, you know, of the thousands of business plans that get sent to him every year at his VC firm up in the San Francisco area, he says he's got two piles. You know, the one pile where people's business plans are completely driven by making money and the other by making meaning. And he says the only ones he'll ever look at is when people are building a business because they want to make a difference in the world.
Mm.
And that's one of his key filters.
Great.
The fourth one that we want to talk about is leaving a legacy. So how do you, as an individual, want to be remembered? I mean, I have a couple of clients here in Southern California that actually have started foundations so that they can give money to their, you know, their favorite causes and pass that foundation on to their children.
Mm-hmm.
So how do I want to leave a legacy? And really, these are the types of things that can inoculate us as leaders and entrepreneurs against focusing on the someday or when I have enough money syndrome that I talked about earlier. So those are really the four, Marcia, that I would encourage you to use in the circle. There's one other that's kind of, I would say it's kind of an overarching driver that Stevenson and Nash discovered, which is, how do you know when you've had enough? Knowing when to say enough. And another great author, Jim Collins, who wrote the Perennial Good to Great, says it so well when he talks about people who know, who have a focus on what they're doing, and they have a hedgehog. They know what they're great at, they know what they're passionate about, and they know how to make money at it. He says that hedgehogs, they see what is essential, and they ignore the rest.
So how would we label, then, this fifth element?
Knowing when to say enough.
Good, okay.
Just, or just put the word enough if you'd like.
Enough is enough.
Enough is enough.
Okay, good.
Yes.
Okay, I'm ready. I've got my happiness, achievement, significance, leaving a legacy, and enough is enough donut in front of me.
That's right. And I know we're going to open the call up for some questions pretty soon. So as people are drawing the circle, the success model for themselves, now what I'd like to do is have everyone draw a cross through the circle so that the center, you know, two lines intersecting, so that the two intersecting lines cross in the middle of the circle.
So right through the words, right?
Exactly.
A vertical and a heart, like a big plus sign.
A big plus sign.
Okay, so from the top of my donut, I'm making a north to south line, and then from the left to the right, I'm making a line across it. Now I've got quadrants.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Exactly. We have four quadrants now. And so on the top line, at the top of the vertical line, I'd like you to put the word external.
Okay, external goes on the top.
And then at the bottom of that vertical line, put the word internal.
I'm with you.
And then on the horizontal line, from left to right, we're going to put the word on the left side of the circle, behaviors.
So the 9 o'clock position, if I was using a clock face.
Yes.
Behaviors.
And then on the far right, at the 3 o'clock position, just put the word results.
Results. Okay.
So how does the circle look? Is that making sense?
It looks pretty full. I'm happy that there's quadrants because I've got some breathing space in them. So at the center, I've got what feel to me actually like really core values. Happiness, achievement, significance, leaving a legacy, and enough is enough. I've got external at the top, internal at the bottom, results on the right, and behaviors on the left.
That's right. That's right. Now, this is what I call a success model. It's a blank template. And as I said, each of us on the call can design this any way we want. And I think the most powerful success models that I've seen, we'll only end up with a couple of metrics or a couple of measures in here. And this is how it's going to look. We're going to have in the, from like the 12 o'clock to the 3 o'clock, those would be external results. So, you know, what external results will tell us that we're being successful? Then the lower quadrant from 3 o'clock to 6 o'clock would be, what are the internal results? So things going on in my company or in my family or in my mastermind group.
Or even in my own heart, right?
And in my own heart.
Mm-hmm.
Internal behaviors would be from the 6 to the 9 position. So
mm-hmm.
That quadrant is internal behaviors, and then external behaviors, in other words, how other people are observing or behaving or operating around us, our community, our clients, those external behaviors would be in the upper left-hand quadrant from 9 o'clock to 12 o'clock.
Okay, I'm with you.
All right, so we're building here. I want people to just start just randomly putting some things in, because we're moving away from focusing on success being measured by some trailing indicator someday down the road, like end of the year income, which would be trailing indicators to the right, the two far right quadrants, versus leading indicators and behavioral trends we're seeing on the left of the circle.
So, Lisa, let me ask a question and make sure I don't get lost here. So these different quadrants are really in relationship to these five core or key factors on the inner circle. Is that correct?
That's right.
Okay. So then if I say, well, happiness is really what's most important to me, I might say, what are the external results in my life that are feedback to me or ways that I'm demonstrating that I'm happy? Like, for example, you know, I get down on the floor and I'm playing with my puppy and I feel fulfilled. My puppy's tail is, I mean, it's a very basic, you know, sensory example, but I'm playing with my puppy. She's laying on her back, and her, you know, she's just laughing, and I'm on the floor laughing with her. Would that be an external result that demonstrates my level of happiness?
That could be an external result. That's a great example if that's singing true for you, Marcia.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. And there are also some results for those of us on the call who run a business or work in a company that I could give as examples.
Yeah, why don't we do this? Why don't we give one quick example in your own life in each of the quadrants, and then we'll be pretty much close to where we want to open it up to questions from other people.
Perfect, perfect. And I had a few examples that clients have given me.
Fabulous.
So I'm going to use those, and I'm going to start at the 12 o'clock mark on the circle, if that's okay. So we're going to look at external results. I want everyone who's writing down their definitions of success to lead off every definition with the following words. I know how successful my company is being or how successful I'm being. So I know how successful I'm being or how successful my company is being by how.
I love that. I know how successful I or my company are being by.
By how.
By how.
Yep, and dot, dot, dot.
Yep.
This is where you get to fill in the blanks. By, and we're going to start with the first quadrant, by how effectively I expand my network of allies.
Great, so it's an external result. I can point to it and I can measure it.
That's right.
Okay, that's great. By expanding my network of allies. Fabulous.
Correct. That one is a big driver for me why I'm such a fan of mastermind groups.
Mm-hmm.
The second one is I know how success that we're going down to internal results.
Mm-hmm.
I know how successful I'm being by how much I see growth, by how much growth I see in the quality of inbound leads. So that's for people who are in marketing or mm-hmm. generating marketing leads, by how much I see growth in high quality leads.
So the inbound related to the internal.
Right.
Okay.
Then we go to the next quadrant, internal behaviors. I know how successful I'm being by how much time I spend listening versus talking with my clients.
Great.
Then we go to the external behaviors, the final quadrant. Now, this is for people who may have a real commitment to legacy or happiness with their family. I know how successful I'm being by how consistently I honor my family time.
Mm.
And I have a fabulous story for one of my clients here.
Please, go ahead.
He was running an $80 million division of a software company.
Wow.
And he was working 70 to 90 hours a week, 5 young daughters and a wife at home. He actually kept going at this pace for 7 years, and his blood pressure was so bad the doctors wanted to hospitalize him and ask him to quit his job.
Oh.
And he's only 44 years old. So he redesigned his life and his success wheel, and he told me as of yesterday he has 1.5 hours every day left to go out and take a walk and work out, and leaves work every Friday at 3 o'clock.
Well, I think the point that you're illustrating here, Lisa, that is so valuable, that is as we change our definition of success and really base it on our core values and debunk some of those myths, we're going to make very different choices and decisions and set different priorities for ourselves.
Exactly. And he needed, unfortunately, he needed a wake-up call and, you know, threats from doctors to do it. And fortunately, he came out the other side a very fulfilled and happy person. And he changed careers, too, by the way.
You know, and that was one of the questions I was going to ask. Let me ask one quick question. We'll open up the line here. And then if there are not a lot of questions, we can come back and we can work further in the model. But I think you've given us so much to think about already, and it's very, very rich. The quick question I want to ask is, that, you know, how do you know when it's time to reevaluate or even change your success definition, you know, or your paradigm? Like, how do you know? Like, this guy got a wake-up call. You know, how do I know when it's time for me to stop and say, wait a minute, my success model needs to be created or reevaluated?
Well, in his case, there are usually five things that I listen for or leading indicators when I'm out teaching workshops. And I've been fortunate enough to share this model with a lot of women business owners, with hundreds, in fact, as well as CEOs. And there are five things that keep bubbling up. Number one is if you find that you're constantly changing your goals, or you find that you're being forced to change your goals at your company, like 4 or 5 times a year.
Got it. Yeah.
That could be one. The other is you're living your life based on someone else's definition. So your church, your mother, your uncle, you know, your spouse is telling you what success looks like. The third one is that when you find that you do this success wheel and you notice that your life is totally designed around the future, like someday when the circumstances are right, I'll be successful,
mm-hmm.
or when I reach this level of income, I'll be successful. And again, that's around living in the now versus living in the future. And the fourth one is where all of your measurements of success are on the far right side of that success wheel, Marcia. So it's all trailing indicators, you know, number of clients, level of income on your W-2, when they're all trailing indicators.
So I just want to make sure, but on that whole right side, you're considering that trailing.
Correct.
As opposed to the left side, which you're considering more what?
More leading indicators.
Mm-hmm.
There's certain ways you're being in the world or way you're behaving that will eventually help you attain those results on the other side of the
screen. So you need both, but you could be really out of balance.
Correct.
And what was the fifth thing?
And the one is the last one is you find yourself working constantly on urgent issues.
Oh gosh.
So
which by the way can create a feeling of significance. I watch a lot of us create urgency where there doesn't need to be some. You know, I sometimes will do it with email. Oh, who needs me now? You know, and I hit that send and receive button, and somehow I create this sense of urgency, and it makes me feel significant. And I thought there's much richer, more valuable ways for me to feel significant.
Yes. You know, Marcia, many years of my career, I thought I was too important, so I was always telling people how busy I was.
Right.
And, oh, I had to squeeze you into my schedule, and, you know, it was such a joke. You know, it was this big charade I was playing with myself until somebody told me, one of my girlfriends, fortunately, told me, Lisa, you know, get off your high horse here. You're not more important than I am just because I don't work 40 hours a week, you know.
Oh, what a good friend.
And I'm so grateful for Sharon, I'm telling you.
Okay, well, let's open it up because we, you know, you and I can keep talking. I wanted to open it up to any questions, insights,
please,
thoughts that anybody has. If you're in an area that has a noisy background, *6 will mute out your background and then make sure to hit *6 again. If you're going to ask a question or make a comment to Lisa or to myself, please just say your name and where you're calling from, and we'll take as many as we have time for. So
great.
I'll take us off of host mode here.
Okay, Marcia.
And if you have a question for Lisa, please just speak up now.
Hi, this is Coach Renata from California.
Hello.
Hi,
Coach Renata.
Welcome.
Hi. I had a question about something that's going on in my life right now, too, being a coach. And I really liked what I heard you saying by successfully expanding your network of allies. So that really hit a chord. So I thought, ooh, I love that. Do you have any success by design suggestions of that?
Well, when you say, do I have any suggestions on that, are you asking how do I go about expanding my network of allies?
Yes. I'm looking for a more of a marketing engine, a network engine. And I'm also in Southern California. So,
some strategy ideas, sounds like.
Right, exactly. Well, first of all, you know, I'll give full credit to Napoleon Hill, who studied 500 successful people under the auspices of Andrew Carnegie around the turn of the century. And what he found is 17 common traits of successful people, and you know, one of them was that I want to mention here. For all the people he studied, none of whom were born into wealth. They were all self-made people. He found that a key element is they were all members of a mastermind group, and had mentors in their lives. How they got there is, and how we can get there today, haven't changed that much. There are a multitude of organizations out there, ranging from, the lead clubs out there to help you generate leads and network with people in your specific community. Professional associations are another one. Mastermind groups are, to me, some of the finest methods to align with people and generate business opportunities, only because it's a smaller group and you make an agreement when you form the group that you're going to really support each other and give more than you get. So it's much less of what's in it for me than it is helping others. So I'm a big fan of helping people, and this is something I do when I meet with groups like Tech and Renaissance Executive Group, is helping those people continue to build those alliances, because those types of groups are very helpful. So
thank you so much.
Yeah.
I really appreciate also that you did add in making, with meaning and with significance, because I think that is a huge part. That's exactly what I do too when I'm doing coaching, is doing it with purpose and meaning.
And the other thing that I want to add just to punctuate is that if you go to the message board in my dream circle, there's an area called resources and requests, and you could actually make a request. I'm looking for like-minded individuals who, and dot, 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 and see who responds to that. We've got a lot of people that are seeking significant others, not just, not those kind of significant others, but other people to be significant with.
That's right, and for those of you that don't mind technology and have been using enabling technology to simplify your business, I'm a big fan of that. There are some great websites now that are flourishing to help you build those allies outside of your regional area. So you can go to Friendster, and you can go to LinkedIn.
Let me get Friendster, like FRIENDSTR?
Yes, that's right, the word friend, STER,
mm-hmm.
And LinkedIn is for... targeted for professionals and executives, LinkedIn.com. These are all free services.
Yes.
And some of them are, you'll get some hits that are really good, and some are people just trying to sell their book or, sell their consulting services or whatever. So you have to be discerning, and you'll know intuitively what kinds of people might work for, be good allies for you. So I hope that that's helpful, and you can email me after this call as well. It's marketing@nirell.com, N-I-R-E-L-L, and I'll be happy to also send you my resource list.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Great. Another question for Lisa. Anything that you might want to ask about a dream that you're working on, or anything specifically around the success model?
I would love to hear some sample statements of success based on the model that we've laid out here, Marsha. I wonder if anyone's feeling bold and brazen. I guess we're getting some shy people here on the call.
Well, I also think I know for me that, we didn't spend a lot of time, it took a while to kind of get the model down, and I haven't really filled it in yet.
It takes time.
So I'm sitting here going, how might this work in a personal example? Can you give me a personal, because we went through a business example. Maybe something in your own life, either around health and wellness or a relationship or anything personally that you've used it on?
Well, my internal...
I'll jump in.
Oh, okay. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
This is Barbara Pinson. You were on mute, so I think that may be the situation.
Oh, there you go, Barbara. No, we can hear you.
Okay. Quick example. My brother last year sold his company for $210 million, and we've got lots of charity events going on in Pinson Cosmetics, and he confronted me saying, why are you doing this? These are not money-making activities. Why are you wasting your time? And we've got three hurricane relief fundraisers this week, And when you laid it out, Lisa, saying, what's the internal? Let me tell you, when people are hugging you and saying, wow, you made a difference, that's priceless. You can't put a value on that.
Mm-hmm.
So it has to do with what's your definition of success. And for mine is that noblesse oblige of being a leverage, being a bridge that people understand that this stuff is nice, but it's the intangibles that you really are here for.
Right. So what I'm hearing is that feedback and sense of appreciation really matters to you, Barbara.
It's more than the appreciation, Lisa. It's that you know because you live, someone else's life is a bit easier.
Mm. So it's really about contribution.
Yeah, in ways that you don't need the fanfare
mm-hmm.
or the big plaques or, you know, it's about, you know, because you have resources and you simply said, that's what I found. Like next Monday, it's the 19th, we've raised $1.8 million for Starlight Children's Foundation. And this is our second year. And I'm really proud of that because, okay, I don't have any kind of income near that. But we've been able because one girl stood up and said, yes, these are, seriously ill children and their families. And what can we do to bring them fun? And just by saying yes, I see that one person really can make a difference. And then you find other like-minded people say, gee, I'd love to do that with you.
I love when that happens. And congratulations to you for putting that together.
Okay. And also, Barbara, what I hear is you're modeling, you know, what it means to be a visionary, because a visionary has a vision, obviously, has a dream, and, articulates it in a way that inspires other people. And it's, as you're saying, there's so much more that we can do with others and for others than we can just do by ourselves. But I think it takes a lot of courage, like you said, for one person to stand up and say, this is an important mission, this is an important cause, how would you like to join me? And that's truly how the world gets healed. And right now the world is in need of a lot of healing.
That's right.
And it's also articulating, because I was very angry last night when people weren't stepping up, and then I realized, okay, it's not about them. It's about that I haven't done my job of articulating properly what's the benefit. Why would you want to spend time, effort, money, talents, gifts to be able to participate? So I spent all of today editing a letter to send out to asking people to join us on these fundraiser events. And I tried to downplay it of, hey, we got the governor's mansion, Jeff Foxworthy's going to be there for the hurricane relief party. It's going to be a blast. But I thought, I need to emphasize the fact that you're giving of yourself to people who really need it, and it's for you. It's really not for them. It's for you.
Well, I just want to jump in here, and then certainly anything else you want to add, Lisa. I think what's so magnificent about what you're saying, Barbara, is you're taking this really high road, excuse me, and I know that you're, a woman who typically says, no, don't shine the light on me, shine it on someone else. But while we're in this conversation, I want to say what I love that you're modeling here is a level of maturity and accountability, because you could have gotten really angry. Hey, this is an important cause. You guys wake up, you know? And what I love is that you actually turned in and said, where am I not being enrolling is the word that I like to use, right? Where am I really not saying what really needs to be said in order for people to take a stand and to rally? And it takes a lot of courage to do that. I mean, that's what I keep hearing in your sharing here, and I'm just really touched, because I think you're educating others. That's why I didn't want the moment to go by without sort of punctuating it here. I think, it's so easy for us to point our finger out there and saying, what's wrong with them, and why aren't they rallying, but to actually stop and say, I wonder what I could say or do or how I could be different that would actually elicit a different response. Lisa, do you want to add anything to that?
No, I think that it just shows and demonstrates, first of all, the courageous people in your dream circle, Marcia, and it also is helping, I think, Barbara articulate and get closer to some external behaviors and internal behaviors that will drive her success wheel forward in a positive direction. So I'm hearing some very, very great behaviors that I think will help keep her energized, fulfilled, and leave a legacy as well.
We have many people on the call, you know, some who are certified dream coaches, some who are certified other kinds of coaches, but I think consistently in our community, all of us have that dream coach seed inside of our hearts. And, you know, those of you that want to become formally certified January 14th through the 21st in San Francisco, I think there's just a few spots left for the next certification program. But I continue to be blown away and inspired that pretty much everyone on these calls and in our community is committed to helping other people actually achieve their dreams. So that's pretty exciting.
Yes, it is. I'm honored to be surrounded by all of you, and I'm certainly inspired.
We have a couple more minutes here. Anybody have another question for Lisa?
Marcia.
Yes.
You know what? I really would like for us to just kind of, could you review the model so that we really kind of are clear on that?
Sure. Lisa, you want to go through it one last time, give us kind of that high-level overview of it?
Yeah.
And make sure that we've got it so that, because what I'm hearing is we're going to get off the phone and we're going to go work with it.
Yeah.
Exactly. And I tell you folks, you know, this is normally a three-hour hands-on workshop with CEOs, so I know I packed a lot in today. So be sure to also drop me an email after this call if you've developed some elements of your own success wheel or success model and you want to pass it by. I'll be happy to be a sounding board.
That's incredibly generous. Thank you for that offer.
You're welcome.
Okay, so let's start with a clean donut in front of us.
So let's, and who asked the question again?
Shelly from Arizona.
Charlie?
Shelly.
Shelly, thank you. Shelly, the big circle on your paper will also have a small circle inside of it with the four words in the small circle: happiness, achievement, legacy, and significance. And if you want to put the word enough in there, that would be great too. So get those in the center of the circle, because those are kind of your guideposts for the whole success model. Then at the top, remember to draw the cross so that the center of the cross, the vertical and horizontal lines, are in the center of the circle or intersect at the center. And at the top line, the vertical line, you'll have the word external. Going clockwise, you will then have the word results on the far right horizontal. On the far bottom, you'll have the word internal. And on the far 9 o'clock position, you'll have behaviors. So everything to the left of this of the vertical line are leading indicators. Everything to the right of that vertical line are trailing indicators. And that is that's the template.
Okay, let me ask you then clarification here. So everything from 12 to 3 o'clock have to do with external results.
Correct.
Correct, and then from 3 to 6 is internal results.
Yes.
And then we have from 6 to 9 we have internal behaviors, and from 9 to 12 we have external behaviors.
You got it.
Okay, so like when the woman was speaking about the things that she was doing for fundraising for the relief, and I'm wondering, because that seemed to me to fit in all of them.
Well, yes, and you know, I like to work one-on-one with leaders on their specific wheel versus try to answer for her.
Uh-huh.
Or do hypothetical. So what I would say is that if it's a behavior that you feel inside, that then it's probably on the left side of the circle. If it's some kind of result you use to run, you know, to live in this world and run your life or manage your financial portfolio, it's probably on the right side. And please contact me, because we're running out of time, to send me some examples and say, hey, I'm just drafting this up. You know, does this make sense? What could I change or embellish? And I'll be happy to be your sounding board on this.
Okay, so theoretically, though, should the behaviors be the initial thing and the results, of course, be the culmination of your belief system as it manifests itself?
Or not? Oh, what a great question. You know, my answer to that is that this is not a linear model.
Okay.
So there's no step one, step two, step three.
Dive in wherever it works for you.
And
I think also just to remind us, you know, that wonderful question that Lisa suggested, I know how successful I am being by how. Can really be so any place that you enter, but I do hear, because it is a wheel, there's something about momentum and balance. Lisa, would you say that just as we start to finish up here?
I would say the word juggling is my preferred word versus balance, because I think balance is, I don't like the word balance.
Mm-hmm.
I think every day is a juggle and it's a dance. It is not a balance. I will say, though, if you end up with seven different metrics in one little quadrant, that could be a clue that it's a little out of balance.
That's great.
If you can only get two measures out of this whole circle, with one on the left and one on the right, I think you could be on to in a positive direction.
And then let me put us in host mode here for a second, just as we finish up, Lisa. And then I also love that you talked about it as a wheel. So it really is about creating momentum or movement in your life. Any last thing you want to say about that as we begin to wrap up here?
Yes, I will say this is, you know, this has taken me 4.5 years to develop. It's simple, but it's not easy, Marcia. And it would take people, if they tried to do all this in 1 hour, what took me 4 years, I think, you know, they'd self-implode. So, you know, if you'd like additional information, and because how many of us are going to remember 100% of what we discussed today, I would really encourage you to get online, and you can actually today, from this call, if you're part of the Dream Circle, I have 8 hours of audio training to help people design their success wheel, hear from successful people, and really have those tools available while they're driving or working in their office to actually make this happen and build a model that's true for them.